The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Time to get you dialed into the biggest stories of the day. This is the Daily 10 with Matt Chernoff.
All right, here we go. It's time for the Tuesday edition of the Daily 10. Thanks so much for making this podcast a part of your day, wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. You can subscribe, follow, and it'll be waiting for you each and every day. Now, this is the only podcast dedicated to you, Atlanta folk, and what you care about the most. We'll get to some football coming up in a moment. We'll start with a late night for the Braves, and we are live and ready to roll.
You're not live.
Yeah, but it's who is that?
It's the only person that hears you live.
Oh, that's a good point. For everybody else, though, it's live when you hear it, and that's the beauty of this fun podcast.
Sure, go with that.
Let's start with a profitable night for the Atlanta Professional Baseball Club. As the Braves beat Arizona 11-4 last night, combine that with the Phillies losing 2-0 to crummy Baltimore, meaning the Braves' lead in the East is back up to 3 games and now 4 in the all-important loss column. The Braves' magic number is down to 11 to clinch the East for a fourth consecutive year. Let's give Snit a little credit here. He messed with the top of the Braves' lineup last night to see if that would jumpstart the offense, and it paid off. The Braves had a 7-run explosion in the fifth inning, where they actually got a bunch of hits with runners in scoring position for a change, and wasn't that a sight for sore eyes. So Jorge Soler moved to the top. Not your traditional leadoff-looking hitter. Freddie Freeman moved back to the second spot. Nazi Albies was hitting third in front of Austin Riley. And that foursome had a very big night. They combined to go 9-for-21, 7 RBI, 5 runs scored to get things going. Plus, Adam Duvall hit his career-high 37th home run. He now has 107 RBIs. That home run, by the way, was measured at 483 feet, the longest home run of his career. Duvall's got a real shot now at 40 home runs. He also extended his hitting streak to 16 straight games. In that time, he's hit 8 home runs. Also, Eddie Rosario stayed hot. Who would have seen this coming? Rosario at 2-for-4, a walk plus his 13th home run of the season. So that was all the good, the offense. The concerning part, Waskari Noah only lasted 4 innings. He gave up 5 hits, 3 runs, couple of walks, 3 Ks. He was in the mid-80s with his pitch count. He never really got into a groove. So when I say it's a concern, no one has grabbed the third spot in this Braves rotation and run with it as the postseason approaches, and that is a concern. Back to the good stuff. The Braves' pen did very good work last night, covering 5 innings and giving up only 1 run. That run was given up by Rich Rodriguez, who, boy, he's been giving up some shots lately. He gave up a bunch of lasers last night, including the home run. He's now given up 6 home runs since the Braves traded for him, and a lot of those have come in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, Snit talked about him relying on that fastball a little too much, and hitters are honing in on that. So tonight, the Braves will start Jesse Chavez in what will amount to a bullpen game. Tukey will be available. Drew Smyly will both be available, as well as everybody else in the bullpen. The pen did a good job, as I said, covering 5 innings last night, but there was no high leverage stuff. They had a big lead, so everybody should be good to go as the Braves open play tonight. 3 up in the division, 4 in the loss column, trying to lower that magic number again as it sits at 11. We're brought to you by the Daily Draft in downtown Woodstock. Go see my friend Sean Daly and the great crew at the Daily Draft. If you are about football, your football Saturdays and Sundays, you'll never have a better time. You'll see a walk-up window before you walk through the door at the Daily Draft. When you do walk through the door, wall-to-wall flat screens, the ultimate sports bar experience, craft beer bar, self-serve taps, chef-inspired menu where when you have lunch at the Daily Draft, just mention my podcast, The Daily 10, and say you heard it live. They're going to take 10% off your lunch order. 10% off when you mention The Daily 10 at the Daily Draft. Go online to thedailydraft.net. Find out about their tailgate box that you can take with you to your house for your tailgate party or to your favorite college or pro destination. DailyDraft.net is where you want to go. All right, let's move on. I want to get to one more discussion point on the Braves, and this is where Matt admits he was wrong. It happens every now and again. Right before the trade deadline, I said the Braves should mostly stand pat if they add a piece or two, I thought it wasn't going to make that much of a difference because their whole outfield was broken. I said, just stand pat, reset, try it again next season. The injury thing and the Ozuna stuff, it's killed the season. Well, I was dead wrong. I don't think anybody could have ever, though, seen the returns the Braves have gotten at the trade deadline. And I mean every one of the moves they've made. Alex Anthopoulos, I don't talk about hitting a jackpot. The first move was Jock Peterson before the deadline, and that paid some early dividends. But he's not getting as many chances now because the other guys are playing so well. But Jock's been fine. He hit .232, five home runs. Not a great OPS at .691, but he's moved around the outfield. He hit at the top of the order. He's been fine. I saw a note on Eddie Rosario, who, since he's come back off the injured list, he ranks among the top 10 hitters in all of baseball in OPS since joining the Braves. That's a minimum of 50 plate appearances. In his 20 games now, still a small sample, but Rosario's hit .333, 10 extra base hits, 6 home runs, and 12 RBI with an OPS of 1.171. That's, again, remarkable. Adam Duvall, since he was traded over, hitting .232, but he's got 15 home runs, 39 runs driven in just 44 games with an .866 OPS. Duvall's riding a 16-game hit streak. He's played center field and done that very well. Huge success. And then even Jorge Soler, last night's leadoff hitter. He's hit .272 since the trade after hitting .193 with Kansas City. He's got 10 home runs, 23 RBIs, and 20 extra base hits in 44 games with the Braves. And he's posted an impressive .863 OPS. So all those are big hits. They fixed the outfield, which I didn't think was possible. Rich Rodriguez has been shaky lately with the home runs, but on the whole, he's posted a .291 ERA, and he's helped in the pen, too. So, double A, you know, round of applause. The Braves GM did it again, fixing what I thought was just broken. All right, let's get to the football. The Falcons get ready for a trip to MetLife Stadium to see the Giants. The Falcons are 3-point underdogs. They'll kick at 1 o'clock on Sunday. The total in the game is 48. It is a must-win for both teams, or else you just bury yourself. You just set yourself up for a season full of stink. Here is the difference, though, in the schedules, at least on the short term, for the Falcons and the Giants. The Falcons' next three games, they'll see Washington at home, the Jets in London, and then a bye week, and then Miami. The Giants have to go to New Orleans, go to Dallas, and then face the undefeated Rams. So things could snowball very quickly for either one of these teams, but man, that Giants schedule is brutal. One note after rewatching the Falcons game again from the lost Sunday against Tampa. We know the Falcon defense is going to be a major work in progress. They're just not very talented. But Sunday, I can argue the offense, as much as they had good moments, the offense in the Falcons' kicking game made things much more difficult for the Falcon defense against Tom Brady. Here's what I mean. Tampa had a touchdown drive that started on the Falcon 45-yard line after the Falcons failed on a 4th-and-1. Tampa had another touchdown drive that started at the Falcons' 18-yard line after Matt Ryan had a tipped pass intercepted. Tampa had a third touchdown drive that started at the Falcons' 43 after a shanked Cam Neislett punt. Add in the two pick sixes, and no, the defense didn't play well, but man, the offense in the kicking game made life much more difficult. And against any team, the Falcons' defense can't do that stuff. Against Brady and the Bucks, you're making life impossible on yourselves. Tampa didn't have to work hard to score 35 of their points. 14 came off pick sixes, 21 on possessions that started on the plus side of the field against the shaky Falcon defense. Week one, the issues were red zone, right? Penalties, interior line play. Week two, it was the kicking game. It was the turnovers, and it was the short fields. That stuff can't happen for a team that is just very marginally talented. The good news is that they can clean some of that stuff up. In the next 3 weeks, there are winnable games. All right, to the college football where we get ready for Georgia and Vandy. Dogs are a 34.5-point favorite against Vanderbilt Saturday at noon in Nashville. The total in the game is 52. Good news for Georgia, if it's, you know, hasn't been good news already at 3-0. Georgia looks like they're going to start getting some of these weapons back soon. Sounds like Darnell Washington could be back in the next week or two. Sounds like Tyke Smith could return in that same time frame. I don't know if George Pickens is close, but George Pickens is running routes again at practice. Seth Emerson of The Athletic reported Pickens still a long way from returning, but he was wearing a brace on his knee and he was running routes, so that's good news. Dominic Blaylock was dealing with a hamstring injury that set him back a little bit, but he also could be, you know, close to coming back as well. So think about a Georgia team that's already this talented, this put together, and they could get better on both sides of the ball with some of these pieces to the puzzle returning. So I do have one question for Georgia fans, and I want you to ponder this. As you see the rest of the schedule, Georgia's going to be a heavy favorite in most of these games. And I feel like we in the media and fans sometimes are guilty of just fast forward to the SEC title game. If it's Alabama, that's the next big game for Georgia. And that's probably true. But the season in most sports never goes 100% according to the plan we all set. Maybe things are going to be trickier. I don't know. Are Georgia fans any more concerned now about this game with Arkansas, who has a win over Texas? We'll see what they do against Texas A&M. Are Georgia fans at all more concerned about the trip to Auburn, who just played a top 10 Penn State team on the road, played them pretty tough, had a chance late? Are Georgia fans more concerned about Florida, who just took Alabama to the wall? And who knows, maybe that time is they'll play in Jacksonville around Halloween. Maybe Florida's better than they already showed against the Crimson Tide. I think Georgia is the better team in all three of those games. I think they'll win all three of the games. But I wonder if there's more concern from Georgia fans who look at what I called yesterday the most complete team in college football, with Georgia's offense and defense humming along. Are those games a little more concern? You can leave your comments down at the bottom. Oh, wait a minute. We're not live and we're not on YouTube. Think about it and get back to me at another time. If you would, hit the subscribe button, or you can follow this podcast wherever it is you get your favorite podcast. I'll remind you to go see our friends at the Daily Draft downtown Woodstock. Go have lunch there today. Mention my podcast, The Daily 10. They're going to take 10% off your lunch order, or enjoy your weekend worth of football coming up on Saturday and Sunday. I'll be on the radio on 680 The Fan this afternoon. We're back again tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily 10.
Subscribe to The Daily 10 now and get the latest breaking news and biggest stories of the day every morning. Get more at 680thefan.com or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your favorite shows.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.